extended to us on her behalf. Fellowship is not something that you do that's just because it's biblical, but it's something that is done out of love, and you have truly expressed and shown that love that you have for one another. And we truly appreciate that and want to thank you for that. Jesus, in the Passover meal, he concludes the Passover meal with a statement of something to take place in the future. In the scripture reading that was given in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The account in Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 25 says, "Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Luke's account in verse 22 and verse 18 says, "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." So then we must search the scriptures concerning this kingdom of God, this kingdom of the Father, which was to come according to these statements recorded by Jesus, saying when he would drink anew with his disciples. We find in Daniel chapter 2, we find Daniel explaining the image to the king of Babylon and the earthly kingdoms which were represented by the various metals and materials, making this image of a man which the king had seen in his dreams. As Daniel is explaining to the king the fourth kingdom, he makes this observation in verse 44, chapter 2. "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever." Another rendering of this verse is, "And in the days of those kings shall the God of the heaven set up a kingdom which to the ages shall not be destroyed, and the kingdoms to another people shall not be left. It shall break in pieces and make an end of all these kingdoms, but itself shall stand to the ages." This kingdom, which the God of heaven would set up, will never be destroyed, being established to endure forever. By virtue of its endurance forever, we must rule out a physical kingdom, thereby making this kingdom of a spiritual nature. We find then Daniel recording his vision of the Son of Man coming to the Father, who gave to him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion or rule which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. In Daniel the 7th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, we find, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. We find here and understand that this is not a physical kingdom, because at no other time in history has there been a single king over the whole world where all the people, where all nations, and men of every race and language have served that one king. Again, we must reach the only logical conclusion, and that is that this kingdom would be a spiritual kingdom. Remember the words of Jesus that he gave to Pilate in John the 18th chapter and verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. And as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." So then we must ask, is this kingdom that is coming going to belong to Jesus? And is he going to be the king over it, that kingdom? And then who will be in that kingdom? We can look to the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary, telling her of the child that she would have and that she should call his name Jesus. In Luke, the 1st chapter, verses 31 through 33, we find, "And behold," the angel said, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. We are told here that that kingdom without no end that was spoken of in Daniel would be the kingdom that would be belonging to this child named Jesus, whom Mary would give birth to. The word kingdom, when you look at it, denotes royalty, power, kingship, dominion, and rule. In the abstract sense, it means rule. And in the concrete sense, it is a realm either literal or figurative. It can mean dominion and reign, being the exercise of kingly power, thereby having a realm or a people in a territory under kingly rule. Isaiah foretold of this coming of Jesus and a kingdom belonging unto him in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. He said, "For a child will be born to us, as a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." God was going to bring this about. It was God's decree and it was established. And therefore, God being immutable, that cannot change, brought this about. John the Immerser came proclaiming that this kingdom of heaven was at hand. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2, we find, "Now in those days, John the Immerser came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Another rendering reads it, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven hath drawn near." The kingdom spoken of in Daniel and in Isaiah, along with what was told to Mary by the angel Gabriel, is now at hand or hath drawn near. We even find that Jesus himself was making this same proclamation as recorded in Matthew, the 4th chapter and verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Matthew again tells us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 of what Jesus was doing in his ministry. "Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people." Another rendering to this is Jesus was going round throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the glad message of the kingdom and curing every disease and every infirmity among the people. We see what Jesus was teaching, and that was that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus was proclaiming the gospel, the glad message of the kingdom. This great event foretold by Daniel and Isaiah was now at hand and was going to come about and be established. The gospel, the good news, the glad message was being proclaimed by John and Jesus that this kingdom spoken of beforehand was now at hand and drawing near, and that this marvelous work of God was about to be established. Matthew again records what Jesus was doing in his ministry in chapter 9 and verse 35, where it says, "And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." Jesus was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming that glad message of the kingdom. When rebuked by the Pharisees for casting out demons, the reply of Jesus was telling them that the kingdom of God has come. Matthew, the 12th chapter and verse 28, he says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Something that they could not deny. It was doubtless that it had come upon them unawares, the kingdom of God. Was this kingdom of God that Daniel foretold about now definitely at hand? Jesus made the answer very plain when he stated in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus was proclaiming that at that point in time, there was going to be those who in no wise would die until they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So then we may ask, what is this kingdom that belongs to Jesus? Who is in this kingdom that was being established? We need to look to the writings of Revelation, where we see John stating this about Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it's recorded, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Jesus is a supreme king. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth, and who loosed us out of our sins with his blood. Jesus, by his death, made us to be a kingdom, making us to be priests unto his God and Father. How did Jesus make us a kingdom? He has made us to be a kingdom by making those who he loosed from their sins by his blood to be the realm or the dominion over which he rules. Those who are loosed from their sins are therefore his subjects in this kingdom. John further states in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. For thou wast slain, thou didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." This is clearly what Daniel spoke about concerning this kingdom of all people, all nations, men of every language. This spiritual kingdom is then those who are redeemed unto God by the blood of Jesus, and those who are loosed out of their sins with the blood of Jesus which was shed. We are told in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 that this kingdom is the church which God he purchased with his own blood. The assembly of God was purchased or acquired through the means of the blood of Jesus. We can conclude then that the church of God, which is the assembly of God, is a kingdom over which Jesus would rule. And when were men loosed from their sins by the blood of Jesus? On the day of Pentecost, as Peter proclaimed unto the Jews concerning Jesus, they were believing and obeying the words of Peter and were being immersed for the remission of their sins. This is when the kingdom was established. We look further to Paul and his writings to those of Colossae, who were Christians, where it is recorded, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his blood Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Jesus has a kingdom of which he rules over, and Paul records this in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, verses 24 through 26, when he says, "Then comes the end, when he," Jesus, "delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he," Jesus, "has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign," Jesus must reign, "until he has put all his enemies under his feet." The last enemy that will be abolished is death. That Jesus has a kingdom is acknowledged by others, as we read in Matthew the 20th chapter, verses 20 and 21, where the request is made by the mother of the sons of Zebedee. She came before Jesus and said, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, What do you wish? And she said to him, Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left." Here we find her showing royalty to Jesus by bowing down before him, and showing the rule of Jesus by asking Jesus to command, and also showing a realm of Jesus by saying, "In your kingdom." Even the thief at the side of Jesus upon his death made this request, as recorded in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Matthew also speaks and supports that Jesus has a kingdom when he records the very words of Jesus explaining the parable of the tares to his disciples. In Matthew 13th chapter and verse 41, he says, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness." We can conclude then from this verse that, one, Jesus has all authority in heaven by the rule over the angels. The Son of Man, says, will send forth His angels. Two, that Jesus has a rule and a realm He will gather out of His kingdom. Consider also the statement of Jesus to His disciples in Matthew the 28th chapter and verse 18, where it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That is why Paul could state to those saints in Ephesus that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, sealed Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He hath put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 17 through 23. Consider the rule, the realm, the kingdom of which Jesus is the head of in this verse. He is at the right hand in heaven, far superior over all rule, over all authority, over all power, over all dominion, and every name, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. All things are in subjection to Jesus and are under His rule and under His feet. He is head over all things to the assembly, to the church, which we have already noted, which is His kingdom, His realm, and His rule. We must conclude that Jesus, the head and the Savior of the body, is the King who has all rule, and the realm is His body, the assembly of saints being His church, the kingdom which He purchased with His blood. On the night of Jesus being betrayed and being delivered up, and after the Passover meal, Jesus makes this statement to them in Luke chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." We have already noticed that when Jesus told His disciples that He would not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom, He was declaring that when His kingdom, the assembly or the church, was established, it would be then when they would be drinking, communing, having fellowship with Jesus once again. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew the 24th chapter in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom," He said, "shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations." This is what is preached and proclaimed today, and that is this kingdom of where Jesus is the King and proven to be the ruler by the Father, resurrecting Him from the dead to be seated at His right hand with all authority and power, has been established. And we can become servants and loyal subjects in this kingdom. We find after the death and resurrection of Jesus that He was with His apostles, giving further instructions concerning this kingdom, as recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. "To these He also presented Himself alive," it states, "after His suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." Luke then records in chapter 2 of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, of Peter telling the people that Jesus was the fruit of David's loin that would be seated on David's throne according to the promise of God to David. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. Peter further tells of Jesus being the King, This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Verses 32 and 33 of Acts chapter 2. When you look at Stephen in his defense to the high priest, he spoke of Jesus and gave testimony of Jesus having kingly power. In Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56, he says, "But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed fervently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Remember what we read concerning what Paul said in Ephesians 20 through 23, that Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand, having rule over all authority and power and dominion, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. The Father also has put all things under Jesus' subjection. Jesus is seated as King in His kingdom. And this message of Jesus and His kingdom was what was being proclaimed by His disciples throughout all the land. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, we find, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike." Those two things went hand in hand. Preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. We find that proclaiming the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus as the Messiah, they go hand in hand. We find Paul doing the same as Philip concerning the message that was being spread abroad. When you look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, "And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about what? About the kingdom of God." Now notice the first half of verse 9. "But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude," they class it as the way, speaking about the kingdom of God. Telling the good news, persuading concerning the kingdom of God, is also called the way in verse 9. Preaching the gospel about Jesus and His kingdom and becoming a child in that kingdom is referred to as the way. Paul told those at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 25, "And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more." This was what Paul went about declaring, preaching the kingdom. We find Paul talking to the leading men of the Jews in Rome and then desiring to hear more concerning the way and this record in Acts chapter 28, verse 23. "And when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God, and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening." Paul was bearing full witness concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus as being the Messiah. And Paul continued this for 2 full years, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered to all who came to him. In verses 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 28. When you use the term the Lord Jesus Christ, you are proclaiming Jesus as King, the only one with the right to rule over His kingdom. Jesus is the anointed one to be the ruler and the King, given that authority and power from God the Father. There again, we recall the message of Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore," Peter said, "let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made them both Lord and Christ." He has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. The implication of all this? You and I, as children of God, are in that kingdom. And when we drink of the fruit of the vine, we are communing with Jesus as He drinks with us anew in His kingdom. But we have to be in that kingdom. We have to be those servants. We have to be those that accept His rule and His authority. Without being in that kingdom that Jesus died for, we have no part with Him. We, in essence, are telling him that you are not our Lord. You're not our master. We're not going to follow you. That is why it's so important to preach the good news concerning the kingdom. It has been established. And to be in that kingdom, it requires the forgiveness of your sins. And to receive those forgiveness of sins, you have to come into the contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the way that you come into the blood of Jesus Christ is by being immersed in the waters of baptism and have those sins forgiven. Then you are translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You become a child of God. You are in that kingdom. You are a servant to that kingdom. You are one of His. And you accept His rule for the rest of your life. And you accept Him to control what you do. That's part of being a servant in His kingdom. That can be yours this evening if you wish, by accepting the gospel call. By accepting that Jesus is the King. He has the power and the right to rule. That He is the Son of God. To accept that, to accept the kingdom and become a part of it by being immersed in the waters of baptism. If that is your choice this evening and you wish to do that, everything is ready. Let it be known while we stand, while we sing.